Good morning, church. Glad you're with us here and for our drive-in service here in Duffield, Virginia at Thomas Village Baptist Church, and we welcome you and glad you're here. We're going to get started off with a song this morning, and I know everybody knows this one, so just sing along in your vehicles. Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. For me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen.
Good morning, y'all. It's good to see all of you today. So thankful that you've come out. I don't know why they put this one in the sunlight. I'd rather be over on that side. That's where I'm going to be in a minute. But it's good to see all of you today. So thankful that you come out. If you got your phone with you, take a look at it and honk your horn if you got service. All right, that's what I thought. We're probably not going to be on Facebook this morning due to something that's going on. Amy, I talked to her, said it's out all the way down in the Jasper. But it's good to be with you today. As far as announcements go, Lord willing, we'll try to have tonight's service. Just check your computer. And if we're not there by about 7:05, then we ain't going to be having service on the internet tonight. And then continue to watch with us tomorrow and Wednesday. But next Sunday, God willing, we're going to keep the time at 10 o'clock, but we're going to have the service open if you want to come in and be a part of it. Now, when you go in, what you're going to see is you're going to see the pews broke down into 6-foot breakdowns. And if you see X's in that portion, we ask you not to sit in that portion. Basically, it's set up like a checkerboard, and we're trying to allow for six feet in there. So it's going to look a little bit different, and just work with us. We'll have signs out and all that. But it's good to know that we're able to come together and worship. We want to continue to pray for those that's in need. How's Brother Wayne today? Doing good. All right. That's been an answer to prayer. But I'm going to ask Brother Ken to lead us in a word of prayer this morning, and then we'll continue singing.
Let us bow our heads. Father God, I just want to thank you for this day that we'll be able to gather in your name and be amongst your people. Just forgive us of our faults and trespasses, and just lead and guide us in the right direction. Be with our leaders of our nation, that they may make wise, godly decisions in all matters that are pertaining right now. And just be with us as we go about our day, and that you lead us and guide us in the right direction. And just be with your hand on this this service today. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Frank, did you put new batteries in the microphone last week?
I thought you did.
Okay. I'll work on it. Okay. If you got your Baptist hymnal with you, we're going to be singing number 426, Victory in Jesus.
Story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Me there, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. What a day of singing, what a day of shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory, glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the same it did, rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. What a day of singing, what a day of shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory, glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all the heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. What a day of singing, what a day of shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory, glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
I'm on. All right, everybody, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 16, I think. Judges chapter 16. Yeah, Judges chapter 16, verse 23. And I do pray that all of you had a good week this week. I'm thankful that we are able to meet and come together. I'll be honest with you, I don't like the Supreme Court's decision about California and them being able to put the stricter restrictions on the church, but that's the time we live in. I seen a post the other day that said, as you're turning to the book of Judges, I seen a post that said the other day, you won't get arrested for burning down buildings or looting, but you will get arrested if you try to go to church. And that's just the times we're living in. That's the situation we're living in. But praise God, He's on the throne and He's in control, and our best days are yet to come. Amen. I do again want to just say a praise report as you're turning to Judges chapter 16. Good news with Brother Wayne. We thank God that they didn't have to bust open his chest. They were able to work with him from the side there, and this is what's been prayed for. I'm getting a lot of echo. Yep. That all right? Can y'all hear it? How about that? And then also, I want to say thank you to Sister Ruth Roten and Miss Joyce Johnson that has sent us some. It's getting louder, man. has sent us just some words of encouragement, and they're being able to watch us on Facebook. I was just told we're on Facebook, we're just not on cell service, so that tells you how much I know. But do be in prayer. Amy's out of town and Youngs are out of town. They're down in Georgia, so I'm at the house alone and trying to fend for myself. I've already had people have to make sure I was dressed right and everything this morning, that I didn't embarrass myself too bad. But today I want to talk with you about lessons from a strong man. Lessons from a strong man. I've prayed this week and I've asked what the Lord would have us to be. And this passage that we're going to be reading from, really it begins in Judges chapter 13 and goes all the way through Judges chapter 16. And once we begin to read this, it's going to be very familiar to you. Matter of fact, it's probably going to take you back to thoughts of your childhood. So let's begin reading. If you feel led to stand, you stand. And we're going to be in Judges chapter 16, beginning in verse 23. Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them,
Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God, and to rejoice. For they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, and they said, call for Samson, that he might make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean on them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once revenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was bore up, of that one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zohor and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for a beautiful day. I thank you for the sweet breeze and everyone being here. And God, we're just thankful that we're able to call upon you. We're able to come before you and to pray. And we need you today. We need you to give us wisdom. We need you to be our protector, our provider, Lord, our secure, our doctor. All that we need, Heavenly Father, Lord, is wrapped up in you, Jesus. So now we invite you to be in this place. Forgive us of our sins. I pray for those that are watching over the broadcast on Facebook. I pray that you use this scripture to bless them. But Lord, in all things today, I pray for those that are lost. I pray today will be the day of salvation. And God, that you be glorified. Give us the ears to hear, the heart to receive, and the willingness to work. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, most of us has heard of the book of Judges, but I just want to kind of remind you the situation that's kind of going on here. It is probably during the time from the conquest of Joshua in 1398 BC or before Christ up to around 1043 BC where Eli and Samuel kindly take the lead and begin, and then you see that Saul is anointed king after that. But during this period, they had many judges that came. And the term judge here refers to the unique and specific leaders that God provided to the Hebrews so that they would be preserved, them as they faced enemies as a new nation. Now we know that God's plan was not intended for them to be a physical monarchy. If you remember, there were to be a theocracy, meaning that God was to be their God. But they said, we want a king. We want like the other nations. But God had provided the judges to lead them and to make decisions and all that. So as we consider the judges, those that God provided to secure and preserve the nation, there were, the Bible lists about 11 or 12, depending on how you view Deborah and Barak. But now both of them, I see them as the judges. But you've got, oh Lordy day, that wind's coming. You've got Othniel in chapter 3, verse 9. Ehud in chapter 3, verse 15. Shamgar in chapter 3, verse 34. Deborah in chapter 4, verse 4. Barak in chapter 4, verse 6. Gideon in chapter 6, verse 11. Tola in chapter 10, Jair in chapter 10, verse 3, Japhatha in chapter 11, verse 1, Isba in chapter 12, verse 8, and Elon, chapter 12, verse 11, and finally, Abdon in chapter 12, verse 13. And what you look at this is most of them are mentioned very briefly. There's not very, some of them don't even have but three or four, except for two have, if you look at Gideon, he has about four chapters that's given to him. If you remember, he was the one that was out on the threshing room floor and the angel came to him and said, it's time for you to lead my people. And then the next one that has the same length is that of Samson. The account of Samson as a judge is one that we probably can go back all the way to our childhood and remember having it taught to us. I can remember the first time that I ever heard the story of Samson. Matter of fact, I thought it was Sampson, S-A-M-P-S-O-N, for the longest time. But I remember I was at Sunday school at Pineview Baptist Church down in Ware County, Georgia, and they had a felt board. And they taught us the story of Samson, or the account of Samson, there on the felt board. And there were many things of that story that I remembered. He had long hair, and his long hair gave him strength. He was to never be cut. His hair was never to be cut because he was called to be a Nazarene. And then he killed a lion with his bare hands. As a young boy, that's an amazing thing to think about, that the lion came up to him, and the Bible says that he was so strong it could have been a youngin, like a lamb or a child, that he tore it apart that easily. It goes on to say that he killed many Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. You was talking about donkeys this morning. And he took that and he killed not only that, but he was thirsty after it was done. And the Bible says that he was able to drink water out of the jawbone of the donkey. He had a major problem though. And that was he chose wrong women in his life. Probably he had an issue with adultery or immoral sexual acts is what we see in Scripture. And because he fell for the wrong women, because he practiced an ungodly lifestyle, he was captured, his eyes were made blind, and he was made a slave to the very people that he hated the worst. He had a young boy at the point at the end of his life, and this is what we just read, and it said that he put his hands on a post and on the other post in the Colosseum, and that there were 3,000 standing there. And think about this. They have made him into a clown. He's the one that had killed them, and now he's a joke and entertainment to them. And God allows him in the last moments of his life to be able to do a feat that is so great that it says it was greater than all the accomplishments that he had lived up to that point. That he killed more Philistines. And you recognize that the Philistines are a picture of ungodliness. You remember it said that their god was Dagon. We've talked about him. He's King Triton off the Little Mermaid. He's the fish king. And so as I remembered this and I thought about Samson, I'll just be honest with you. Samson's life is basically one that goes from rebellion to stubbornness and disobedience. That's what you see. And I want to be honest with you. I don't think anybody would say that Samson is a lifestyle. The way he lived his life is a way that you ought to model your life after. But let me read a verse of Scripture for you in the New Testament. It's out of Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Heroes of the Faith chapter. And you know, I've laid it out for you. I want to tell you this, and we'll talk about it in a minute. He met a Philistine woman, and she did him wrong. Then he had a relationship with a prostitute. And after that, he went and he married Delilah, who I wonder if she ever really even cared about him. I think she was in it for the money. And yet that man, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and 33, it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforce justice, obtain promises, and stop the mouth of lions. In the book or the chapter which is known for the heroes of faith, Samson is listed with men like Abraham, David, and Gideon. But how is that possible? How can this man whose lifestyle was rebellion and stubbornness? Because you know what? Praise God, it's not about the man, but it's about the Messiah. It's about the one that saves us. And praise God, he's got a hold of us today, and he's not letting go of us. Man, we could go to the house right there, couldn't we? We ain't, but we could, all right? I do believe what we see in Samson is a simple human being, a man like you and I. And he struggled knowing that from a child he was called to be separated and different. But yet he also fought with fleshly desires. And I think we can see that in the world we live in right now. I think I'm talking with somebody this week that at one time had a desire to live for the Lord. But yet they've suffered some hard knocks. And they're basically at a point where they've thrown their hands up and say, I'm going to get what I can get out of life while I'm there. And while I wouldn't say pattern your life after Samson, I do believe that there are some things that we can look at in the life of Samson. And as human beings as he was, I think we can learn some things. The first thing I want us to look at is that just like Samson, we are created and called by God to be holy. Just like Samson, we have been created and called by God to be holy. Look there in verses 3 and 4, or excuse me, 3 through 5 in chapter 13. 3 through 5 in chapter 13. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and have a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Listen, I mean, his purpose in life was to defend the nation against the Philistines. Before he was ever born, God had a call on his life. If you look in verses 24 and 25, it goes on to say of chapter 13, it says, And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, Samson's daddy's name was Manoah. And his wife, we don't ever really see here in the scripture what Samson's mother's name was. But we're told in chapter 13 that they could not have children. And you remember, as Elizabeth was, John the Baptist's mother, she was barren. And especially in those days, to be barren was almost like have a curse on you from God. And so they've probably tried to have children. They've probably did what they could. And then the angel of the Lord comes one day and says, I know that you've been barren, but I want to tell you, God's going to do a mighty work in your life. And you're going to have a son. And not just any son, but God knows your son. And God's got plans for your son. And God's going to use your son in a great way. So I don't want you drinking anything. I don't want you any alcoholic drinks. I don't want you to eat any unclean food. And when he's born, don't ever cut his hair. Praise God, can I say today that I believe that every baby that has ever been conceived, God has a plan and a purpose for that child from the even before the womb, before conception. God has a plan and a purpose. And your children and your grandchildren and yourself, praise God today, he didn't just birth us and create us and say, go as you would. But for every one of us, he's got a plan. Notice it says that he would be a Nazarite. The person dedicated and separated to God. Like I said, he was not to, after he was born, his hair was not to be cut. He was not to drink of wine or alcoholic beverages. He wasn't, man, I'm hassling already. He wasn't to eat of anything unclean. Matter of fact, if you want to go over to Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, you'll read all the requirements of being a Nazarite. So Samson was a miracle. God gave him. And he said, I'm going to set him apart. And he's going to be mine. First off, just as a human race, God has created us and called us. You think about it. Simply being human, we've been created in a way unlike anything else in all of the universe. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says that God, when He had created everything, He said, let's make man and let's make them, him and her, and let's make them in our image. Let's make them look like us. Let them bear our image. And it goes on to say in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that God Himself breathed in us a breath of life, and at that moment, human beings became a living soul. Meaning, yes, we have a point of beginning, but for an eternity, He breathed in His eternal breath in us. And we're going to live either in heaven or we're going to live in hell. But praise God, He has created us. And not only has He created us, He has been good to us. Think about all the blessings that He's and the favor that He's poured out on us. Just the fact that we could be alive. All that we see in creation, He created for us to enjoy, human beings to enjoy. He's given us family. He's given us loved ones. He's given us friends. And He blesses us in spite of us denying Him. Praise God, all humanity today is created to worship and serve God Almighty. And there's coming a day when all of humanity and all of creation, whether to be saved or lost, will bow down and worship Him today. But you think about it. The Bible says that Samson was set apart. He was set aside. But not only are we as human beings called and created to be holy, but more specifically, those of us who bear the name Christian are just like Samson. We have been called by God, we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we have been set aside for His glory and His purpose. And that's the bottom line. Listen, the word holy means sacred, dedicated to the Lord and His work. In the past few Wednesday nights, we've been studying over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and Paul challenges the young church at Thessalonica that they should be sanctified. This word sanctified means cleaned, separated, dedicated for God, His purpose, and His glory. And that's what God has called us to live for. If you read all the New Testament books, those, especially the ones that Paul wrote and the ones that Peter wrote, and you look at them, you see that there is a cry or a call from those apostles that we be separated from the world in which we live. They're saying you're not to look like the world. You're not to act like the world. You're not to do things. Remember Samson? Samson wasn't never going to cut his hair. You know why? Because when they looked at him, he would look different. He would have long, you know what? When he was around people, he wasn't to drink alcohol or wine. Why? Because he was separated. He wasn't going to eat the same kind of food that other people may eat. Why? Because he was a Nazarite. He had been chosen and set aside by the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world today that the so-called Christians ask, how much wrong, how much sin can I have in my life and still go to heaven, when the cry of the Holy Spirit is, be holy, be separate, look different, act different, be different, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be as sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Samson was going to have to sacrifice if he wanted to be all that God wanted to be, but he wasn't willing to sacrifice. He wanted what Samson wanted. That's where we see the rebellion. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we're to present our bodies as a what? As a living sacrifice. Remember, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. What did Jesus do on the cross? He sacrificed. He was set apart. And that's what we've been called to do today. So the first lesson we can learn from a strong man is, just as in Samson, we, human beings, but more specifically, as children of the living God who's been saved by the blood of Jesus, we have been called and created by God to be holy. Let me ask you this. Are you making an effort in your life? Now, I'm not saying that we're going to do it perfectly. We're all sinners until we trade in this flesh. We're never going to be perfect. But are you making an effort to be holy? Are you trying to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord? Or are you just saying, hey, I've got my fire insurance? Now, you'd never say it out loud. I know that. What about you on the internet today? Are you making an effort to be holy? Or are we being more like Samson? Thankful that God loves us, but you know what? I'm going to live for me right now. I'm going to do what I want to. Second lesson we can learn from a strong man. Just as Samson, all of us can make any choice we want to make, but we will never control the consequences. All of us can make whatever choice we want to make, but we'll never be able to control the consequences. Look there in verse chapter 14 of Judges. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. But his father and his mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all of our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. Now, I know that for most people, nobody's ever good enough for your child. But now, these parents had legitimate concerns. Look there in chapter 16, verses 4 through 6 of Judges 16. And he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came upon her and said to her, seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him, and we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be able that one could subdue you. Now again, I just want to say, when you look at Samson, I relate very good to Samson. Because Samson, he just makes some poor choices. I mean, you look at it and you read it and you're like, my goodness, man. The first woman he was with, she was a Philistine. And she brought people in and tried to get him killed and collected by them. That was when they did riddle. Exactly. Amen, brother. See, that's why it's good to have them behind you. The riddle about the honey that was in the lion. But still, there was 30 men tried to capture him. And why? Because he chose the wrong woman. And then you know what he did? He took the foxes and he tied the fire to their tail and he let them run out and then burnt down all the fields. But you know what? She married another man because she was pretty sure that Samson was going to die. But yet, that didn't stop him. Read on a little bit further. He has an affair with a harlot. And then we see that he goes to Delilah and he falls for her. Another woman. And look, she was asked to seduce him. And from that is when she started having a relationship with him. And Delilah, 4 times she asked him, where's your strength lie? I mean, I don't want my wife to know I'm weak. She knows I'm flabby and chubby and all that stuff, but I don't want her to know that what can really get to me. But she asked him in Judges chapter 16, she says, what'll make you weak? And he said, get some bowstrings, some fresh bowstrings, and tie me up, and that'll do it. They tried it, and it didn't work. So then she went to him, she said, come on, man, tell me. He said, get some brand new ropes and tie me up with the ropes. That didn't work. She said, come on. If you love me, tell me. He says, okay, now listen. He's moving closer and closer. He says, if you braid my hair. You see, he'd been far-fetched. But now he's starting to dabble in it. And then, my goodness, y'all know what to do. You know what she did? She cried. And she said, if you really loved me, then you tell me what you've done. How? Where your strength lies. You know what he said? He said, it's in my hair. It's in my hair. If you cut my hair, I'll lose my strength. The Bible says she lulled him to sleep and cut his hair, and then we all know history. Philistines came in and got him, tied him up, took him to the prison, gouged his eyes out, made him grind in the prison, and they used him as a slave. This great judge, this man that had been called by God, separated by God, and empowered by God because of the choices he made, has now become a laughingstock to the very people that he was supposed to defend Israel from. You know what? Today, Samson made the choice. As human beings, as I said before, we've been made in the image and the likeness of God. And God is a free moral agent, meaning that nobody tells God what to do. He makes his own choices. And being true, we are created in God's image, and we have at least a bit of free moral agency, meaning that we can choose to do what we want to do, or we can choose to do what God would want us to do. And some of you here today, remember, we can choose, but we cannot control the consequences. I don't believe Samson would have ever told her if he'd have known he'd have lost his eyesight and become a laughingstock of the Philistines. Do you? No. But the consequences. There's some maybe in the parking lot today. Some of you may be watching on Facebook today. You're feeling the call of the Holy Spirit. He's drawing on your heart and He's saying you've broken God's rules. You've rejected God, but Jesus loves you. Jesus took your sins on the cross and He left them in the grave. And if you'll repent today, then you'll have everlasting life. And you know what? If you receive Him, you'll get a relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll get eternal life. And those are just two of the great blessings that He'll provide. But if you reject His call, eventually you will hear His call no more and you will spend eternity in hell. What is that? That's choices and consequences. Others here are watching, or they're in the parking lot, who profess to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior already. And you've got to make a choice. Am I going to live the rest of this day, Monday, and the rest of this week? Am I going to live it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I going to live it for myself? If you live it for Christ, if you try to please and honor the Savior, you'll be a witness to a lost and dying world, and He will be able to say one day, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little. Now join with numerous awards. But you can also choose to live for yourself. Then you are not in the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't worry about honoring Him. You don't worry about pleasing Him. All you worry about is yourself and what makes you feel good and what makes you look better. If that's where you're at today, I want to ask you this. If that so-called relationship you have with Jesus Christ is not enough to motivate you to live differently on this world, do you think it's enough to keep you for an eternity? Choices and consequences. You see, God has established a law over all creation. If we choose to break His law, then there's going to be consequences. Samson had relationships, sexual relationships outside of marriage and with ungodly partners. And it cost him his life. If we follow them, then we're blessed. We're benefited. You can go look back at Joseph. Even in the midst of everything that's going on, he honored God, and God lifted him up. If we are truly Christians, but we're in a backslidden state, then God will be trying to correct you. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, it says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addressed you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the ones He loves, and chastens every son whom He receives." I know some of you is probably going through some difficult circumstances right now. Is it a chastening? Is it a drawing? Or is it just a storm of life? Lessons from a strong man. We've been created and called by God to live a holy life. We can make our choice, but we can never control the circumstances. The third thing we can learn from this strong man is that God can use our tragedies for our good and His glory. God can use our tragedies and use them for our good and His glory. Look there in Judges 14, verses 3 through 4. "But his father and mother said to him, 'Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' But Samson said to his father, 'Get me for her, for she is right in my eyes.' His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At the time, the Philistines ruled over Egypt, or over Israel." Judges chapter 16, verses 28 through 30. "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and upon which it was bore up, and the one on the right and the other on the left hand. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." I want you to think about that. I can't look at y'all, the wind makes a racket. I want you to think about that. Even his mistakes, even Samson's failures, the Lord was able to use it for His glory. I want you to see something. When we look at Samson's life, he made it hard for himself by the choices he made. And not only did he make it hard for himself, but he brought his family into it. He brought his first wife into it. She ended up getting killed. But we must remember this, that Samson was called and separated from God's purpose. And this just blows my mind right here. All of this that we see going on in Samson's life, there's one phrase that is repeated. Judges 14:6. "The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him." Judges 14:9. "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him." Judges 15:14. "Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him." We must know and remember that there was a period of time that God's hand of protection and power was on Samson. And the consequences of his choices brought tragedy and separation in his life. Yes, there came a time where God withdrew His hand from Samson. But God had prepared the way for Samson before Samson was ever born. And He was going to use the life of Samson in the way that He wanted to use. Look in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' And he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go as I at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." You know what? That's the chastening. Remember, we just talked about the consequences. God wasn't going to let him just go and run and do whatever. He had to rein him in. He had to humble him. He allowed him to be the laughing stock. He allowed him to be brought low. Because would he have ever been willing to surrender to God if God would not have let him get in that position? When you read in the Bible, you see a lot of the greatest men's had to come to a point where they were broken by God so that He could rebuild them. What do we see there? Again, choices and consequences. But think about this. He's a laughing stock. He's in jail. They've made him entertainment and a slave. But even during that time, God was watching over Samson. God was in control of Samson's situation. And while Samson may have rejected God, God never rejected Samson. And praise God, today, if you're His child, the Bible says that it don't matter how far you've gone, maybe today you've never accepted Him and you feel like you're so deep, praise God, the Bible says not only is He able to save, but He's able to reach to the most lowest parts of the earth, and He can save to the uttermost today. And praise God, Christians, we need to understand that God can take what the world around us will see as a tragedy and use it for His glory and grow. In fact, I mean, we look at the pandemic right now. And I tell you, I don't like us not being able to meet together. But if we're willing, here's the thing. If we're willing to share what we have on Facebook any given week, 1,000 to 2,000 people view us. And that's just if we click on one thing to share it. I don't know how many, but I believe right now that Thomas Village Baptist Church is reaching more people with the gospel than it has ever reached before because of a pandemic. You see, God can take a tragedy and use it for His glory. You see, God's purposes in our life are greater than our tragedies. God's purpose in our life is, and His power is greater than our failures. That's an awesome thing today. I can look back and I won't say I don't want them to happen again or nothing like it to happen again. But I can look back at hard times and difficult times in my life, and God grew me. I remember the time that I had to get up before the church because the Spirit led me and I had to confess sins. It wasn't easy. God had to humble me. I remember He gave me what I wanted down in Georgia when I was pastoring, only to let me know that I can get exactly what I want and still be empty spiritually, that His way is better. I think of others of our family members that have gone through things, loss of loved ones, and I'm seeing how God is working and using it to make them into greater Christians. You see, we like the verse Romans 8:28. And we know, for all those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called, for those according to His purpose. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? Because the Bible makes it clear. Paul didn't want to be in jail. He would have rather been out preaching. But because of the tragedy of him being arrested and beheaded, we got the New Testament. He wrote the majority of the New Testament in jail. Jesus Christ on the cross, roughest point in His life, hardest thing He had ever faced. So much so that He sweat blood and prayed, God, if Father, if there's another way. But He did it, and praise God, in that we have salvation. Lessons from a strong man. We've been called and created to be holy by God. We can make choices, but we'll never be able to control the consequences. God's purpose and plan is greater than our mistakes and our tragedies. And lastly is this, it doesn't matter how others see you. It only matters how God sees you. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and 33. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel the prophet, who through faith conquered kingdoms and forced judgment, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. Now if I ask you right now, who is the most physically strong character in all of the Bible? Most people would get that answer right. Samson. Come on. I mean, that's duh. But what if I ask you this? Who are the top 20 great men of faith? Would you put Samson in that category? No. We wouldn't even think about it. He wouldn't even be on our mind unless we had just read Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'd have went, goody, 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 I know more than you know. But, you know, that lifestyle is not one that we would say. We would say, I don't even think they saved. But God says, I place him there with David in the same heroes of the faith. He puts him there with Abraham. Abraham would be one that we would say is a great man of faith. But you know what? Go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 13, and Abraham was a liar. He told Pharaoh that his wife was his half-sister because he didn't want to get killed. It wasn't for her betterment, which she was his half-sister, but he didn't want to tell him. But you know what God calls Abraham? He says, he's my friend. He's my friend. Then there's David. David's a cheat, a liar, and a murderer. But God says, he's a man after my own heart. There's Simon Peter. Old boastful, braggadocious Simon Peter said, I won't go. Nobody else will stay with you. I'll stay with you. But at the greatest time and hardest time in Jesus' life, what did he do? He tucked tail and run and denied him. But you know what? And we call him a coward. But you know what Jesus called him? His rock. Petrus. Then there was Jacob, Eli's brother. He was a liar and a con man. But God called him Israel, or his prince. And then there's Samson, the womanizer that liked to drink and let his flesh run away with him a lot. And we would call him certainly not a man of God, but God says, or God places him in a list of great men of faith. So let me ask you this today. Who are you letting define you today? Are you letting the world define you? That you've got to wear this and you've got to act like that and you've got to participate in this? Are you letting some boyfriend or some girlfriend tell you who you're supposed to be? TV, music videos, and it's not only for teenagers, man. Hey, even people my age and on up, they want to be cool. They want to be accepted. Or are you letting Christ define you? Christ said he loves you. You're so valuable to him that he was willing to step down from the throne of all creation and put on dirt and live 33 years and be spit upon and punched and die on the cross. Why? Because he values you that much. He says, you're so important to me, I'm going back to my hometown and I'm going to build us a house and you're going to live in my neighborhood forever. You know what else? It's so important that there's coming a day where I'm going to come get you and I'm going to escort you there myself. Is that not awesome? See, it don't matter who you are. It don't matter what you've done. You know what? We can't worry about yesterday. We can't do nothing about yesterday. All we can worry about is today and on. Let me ask you right now. If you died today, would you go to heaven right now? Are you sure in your heart that you're saved? Not a hope so, or I walked the aisle back when I was this and that. No, right now, what is the Spirit telling you? Let me ask you this. Maybe you are saved. Are you living your life for Him, or are you living it for yourself? Again, we're not to pattern our life after Samson. But it just shows us that God is no respecter of persons. And that today He's able to forgive. And here's the awesome thing. He did more in the end when being obedient than He did His whole life. I've not played golf in a long time. Last time I played with Brother Johnny. And this is an old saying. It says, it's not how you drive, but it's how you arrive. You might boom it out, but what you going to do at the last part of the hole when you got to putt it out? You see, today we can't worry about the past. All we can do is from this point on say, I'm going to live for you. Lessons from a strong man. We've been called to be holy. We can make choices, but we'll never be able to control the consequences. God's purpose and plan are greater than our mistakes and our tragedies. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about you, only what God says about you. If you're under conviction today and you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're on Facebook or you're here, just a simple prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your rules, and I'm sorry. And if you'll take my life today, I'll do my best to live it for you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Amen. If you're backslidden today, all you got to do is say, Lord, I've fallen away. Because I know He doesn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you can say this. The Bible says if we'll confess it, He'll forgive it. So if today you'll just say, I've fallen away, but I want to be back in that relationship, He'll do it. Maybe you just need prayer. And I pray right now. If you need prayer, if you're here in the parking lot, raise your hand. If you're at home and you would like prayer, raise your hand. God would know it. But anybody have prayer needs today, raise your hand. I know I won't see y'all, I see some. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you for being so attentive, and this will be our closing. If you accept Christ or you make a decision for the Lord, send us a card, text us on Facebook, something like that. If you're here, give me a holler, give me a call. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for this day. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You for the sweet person of the Holy Spirit. God, I ask today that You do as You see fit with Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.